Today on Deeply Shallow,
we're talking family dynamics at holiday gatherings, what we think, what is said, and what should be left unsaid.
Hello.
Hey, remind me, is this podcast deep opinions on shallow topics or shallow opinions on deep topics?
It's everything. It's Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara. Whether you feel deep, shallow, or just plain petty,
take a ride through life with us, Matt and Tara, as we chronicle it all.
Tell me the whole story, start from the beginning. What were you wearing?
Whether we are tackling aging, friendships, our spouses,
Hubba and Banana are the two luckiest people on earth,
or any other of life's fun, we have different takes, but one goal. Get ready to laugh, shake your head, and wonder where our mothers went wrong.
I'm a 30-year-old woman, and I am still terrified of my mother.
Get in and hold on.
It's Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara, and listener discretion definitely advised. Hey, Shallow Squad. We are 2 days away from Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you guys.
Yes.
Welcome to Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara. Whether you are feeling deep or you are feeling shallow, you have come to the right place. I am your host, Tara, along always with my co-host. It's early in the morning and he has his own pot of coffee, Mr. Matt Hanley.
I sure do.
We don't have a cup of coffee today. We have a pot of coffee.
Yes, yes. We have gone to this early recording schedule.
And I love it.
We are having to make adjustments on the fly.
Yeah.
So we've gone from wine to coffee.
So Matt strolls in with our recording equipment and I have a cup of coffee. He has a pot of coffee. Just walks in with the pot.
Yep. Yeah, I do that at work all the time. I'm not at home long enough to drink the entire pot. So it's like, I'll just take it to work with me and finish it there.
You have a coffee machine at work.
I know, but I don't want to be wasteful.
Gotcha.
I don't want to be wasteful. This is me being prudent and thrifty.
Oh, okay.
Yes, some things. Okay, Tara, as always, when we start our show, and of course, this being just a couple of days before Thanksgiving,
yes,
we always want to check in on our mental health. So where are you this week? 0 to 10.
I love recording in the mornings. You know this.
Yes.
I'm so hyped up right now. So I'm going to go with a solid 9. I'm also still really hyped up from my Target deals yesterday.
Why don't you give the Reader's Digest version of your... I get a text yesterday and it's, call me ASAP. So, I mean, I'm thinking there's a problem. I'm thinking something's happened. You know, she needs bail money. But instead I get a story. Go ahead, but give the Reader's Digest version.
Okay, I'll make it quick because it is kind of a long story. But the whole idea behind the story is I have many people that I shop for at Christmas. My daughter, of course, being the most important person.
Not me, though.
Yeah, no. I don't buy gifts for adults. It's been a very controversial topic.
Maybe that will be a future episode.
But I do not buy gifts for adults. I just don't.
Yeah.
I think it's weird.
Well, you have to draw a line somewhere. But also,
if you don't have kids, I'll buy you a gift. But if you have kids,
That's not even true.
Yes, it is.
There's plenty of people who do not have kids that you have not bought gifts for.
I mean, my friends. I'm not going to walk up to a random stranger and be like, hello, sir. Here's a gift for you. I mean, friends of mine who don't have children.
Okay. Anyway, so proceed with the story.
Okay. So anyway, I was at Target and I was buying 3 gifts.
You were at a Target.
I was at a Target. Okay. I was trying to find this one particular set of Legos. I went all over God's green earth trying to find this one particular set of Legos that was on sale. Finally, this amazing store manager took pity on me, let me pick out a different set of Legos for the same sales price. I ended up finding a coupon for another toy. Anyway, I made it out of there and
like kept
looking behind my shoulder, waiting for security to come get me.
Yeah, you were a bandit on the sale yesterday.
Yes, I woke up this morning and I told Hubba, I'm so jacked up over these gifts that I got.
This is shopping high.
Yes.
And we are not even. And so you clearly are one who tries to attack the sales pre-Black Friday because we're not even there yet.
Exactly. I was at Target to write down what I wanted to get.
For Black Friday. And then you end up getting the deal so you don't have to deal with the crowd and all that.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So,
that's perfect.
Yeah. You know that I love saving a buck more than most people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if it's not free... It's got to be on sale.
It's got to be on sale.
That's right.
Gotcha.
So anyway, I'm feeling super good. I'm going to give myself 9.7.
Gotcha.
What about you? How are you feeling?
This is a very high score, Tara. That's going to be the highest recorded score on the program so far. Tara, today, I'm at like probably a 9.
And that's great.
Yeah. And here's why. Just the anticipation of Thanksgiving has me on high. Thanksgiving, for the record, is my favorite holiday.
Okay. It's also my mom's favorite holiday.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. So Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. And I will tell you why. As I have, you know, mentioned on the show before, Christmas was not a big holiday for us because I grew up pretty poor. And so Christmas was always a lot of pressure, and it was just not. In looking back, I recognize, and I see this for, you know, for parents now, if you can't get your kids everything for Christmas, like it puts a lot of stress on parents.
Sure.
Well, Thanksgiving was the opposite of that. My mother is an incredible cook, and Thanksgiving was always low expectations in the fact that, you know, you don't have to be the wealthiest person in the world to be able to put out a spread of food, you know.
Sure.
And so it was just a time for family and, you know, eating and football and all of those things. And so, like, for sure, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
Well, you're in luck then, because it's 2 days away.
It's 2 days away. In light of that, what are you doing what are y'all's plans for Thanksgiving?
We always go to my grandmother's for Thanksgiving. They live in Breckenridge.
This is your dad's
mom. This is my dad's mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Her and my grandfather lived in Breckenridge for years and years and years. Just recently, which Breckenridge is the smallest town.
Yeah, it's a small town. Yeah.
I mean, super small. They recently moved to the big city of Abilene, Texas.
Yeah.
And so that's where we will be going this year. Me, Hubba, B, my parents, my brothers, my biggie, the whole gang.
Okay.
So we're excited.
Good, 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 good. Well, we are going to travel to my in-laws. And for the first time, my mother-in-law is doing Thanksgiving. We have celebrated with her family for a number of years now, but this will be the first time she's actually hosting it at her house. So this will be a new experience as Big Deb is hosting Thanksgiving.
I can't wait for you to get back so I can hear every single story that happens. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she's probably going to throw away a chair, a table.
Something will happen.
The turkey.
Something.
I think that you are really lucky, though, because your in-laws are the good kind of crazy that you can, like, laugh at.
Oh, for sure.
Tell people about.
Oh, yes.
But
yes.
Not everyone is so fortunate.
This is true.
Do you think, though, that we only notice our families getting crazy, whether it's the good crazy or the bad crazy, as we get older because we're older or because there's other witnesses there?
I think it's probably a little bit of both.
Okay.
I agree with you that when you're younger, you don't really notice comments because you're busy doing whatever you're doing.
Right. You're just ignoring your family.
Yes.
When you're younger.
Yeah. Because sure. You're playing with cousins, and if you have right. cousins and, you know, whoever is there, and you're kind of doing your thing. But then as you get older and you're more involved in the conversations, then you realize, like,
sure.
Whoa.
And there's people there you're trying to impress.
Yes.
With your family.
Yes.
Like, you're trying to sell your family on these people.
Yes. Yes. So, okay. So let's take this back.
Okay.
And let's talk about the evolution of the family traditions.
Okay.
Because I think this is something that, honestly, you know, as always, we're so aware about mental health. And I think that the evolution of family traditions really bothers some people. And then, but it also really excites some people.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is just the change that occurs over your lifetime.
Okay.
In how the family traditions. So, like, what was y'all's family tradition when you were a kid?
We've actually always gone to my grandmother's house since I can remember.
Okay.
But obviously the crowd has grown
okay.
over the years. So it used to be obviously my brothers, my parents, my grandparents, and then the uncles on my dad's side. Mm-hmm. And what's kind of funny is my dad's the youngest of three brothers. Okay. He's
okay.
the only one who has not been divorced.
Really?
Yes. So there has been some change
at the table
over yes. my lifetime.
Yes.
So
okay, so
I think that's where people start going left sometimes.
Okay, so I have to ask then, with there being divorces and I presume new spouses,
yes,
these uncles have remarried.
Yes.
Have there ever been any, like, uncomfortable, like, somebody's telling a story and realizes, oh shit, that was
wrong
the first
spouse.
That was the first yeah. one.
You know, Not at Thanksgiving, but I do have a story that is worse than Thanksgiving. With
really?
Someone saying the wrong name.
The wrong name?
So I was at
this
a
is
wedding.
A family, is this a family
story? This is a family story.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I was at a wedding. A beautiful, lovely wedding between two people who love and adore each other. Who would never forget each other's names.
Is this a first marriage for both of these people?
It's,
or this?
No, it's not.
Okay.
The groom had been married
all
previously.
Right. Okay, okay.
So the best man stands up, gives a lovely toast, says, if we can all raise our glass to the groom, insert first wife's name.
Oh.
Everyone looks around wondering, who the hell is that?
Oh.
It was.
So, but you knew this, right?
I did not know he had been married before, actually.
Okay, so you were like.
I was unaware. Yeah. And I thought, is that her middle name? Like, she's my family member. And I just kind of look up and I thought, is this one of those,
gosh,
like how I call my husband Hubba? Like, that's actually not his legal name, but is it one of those situations? Is this a nickname, perhaps? But nope, not a nickname. Just the first wife's name.
Well, that is horrible. And I'm sure everybody out there who's listening is like nodding their head, because I'm sure everybody has been somewhere where that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
The Banana tells a story about a funeral where the pastor kept referring to the deceased as the sister who was there living. I mean, so one of the
no, thank you.
Passed, and he kept referring to the deceased as the living sister.
I'd be like, listen, asshole, you want me to just crawl up in this casket?
I'm
like,
done.
I'm alive.
That probably would still, if I was that best man, like I would still wake up like in a cold sweat, like to this day.
Oh, yeah.
Like no. I would move to another country. Yeah. Like there's just no way I could ever be around her again.
Because, it would be
like,
tough.
That is just like the quintessential moment that you have just absolutely shit on.
I have had some embarrassing moments in my day. Never said the wrong name at someone else's wedding.
Yeah.
And I've given a few toasts at weddings.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Not a great look.
So that is the interesting part about this kind of evolution. And so it sounds to me like you had a pretty routine Thanksgiving celebration that has little change in as far as where you guys go.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody's, yeah, it's been very consistent.
Everybody's headed to Breckenridge when you were a kid. Now it's Abilene.
Mm-hmm.
But that's everybody just knows that's where everybody's headed.
Right. Yes.
So you have not. Now you have two younger brothers.
I do.
They are not married.
They're not married. But my middle brother, Reagan,
is in a
very, very serious relationship. Reagan, hurry up and propose to her.
OK, so then let me ask you this. Let's just say, you know, Reagan gets married.
Mm-hmm. God willing.
And what if she wants to go to her family's for Thanksgiving?
You know what? I can understand that, honestly.
Yeah.
Because my hubba has always gone to my Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a girl. I win. We go see my family.
So there's no equality? There's no trading?
There's no equality in my marriage. Why are you asking me that if you don't know? No. I'm not.
Okay, well,
I'm not
sharing. Okay, well.
But I will say I do invite, in the past, I have invited my in-laws to join us.
Yeah.
They have never taken me up on that offer, but I have invited them.
So your situation is pretty, is standard.
Yes. Unwavering.
Unwavering.
Mm-hmm.
So my situation has had quite a few changes in it because, and I think some of this has to do with age. So my two sisters are both in relationships. And so we have had this scheduling problem. My father passed away, so it's just really my mom, my two sisters, and I, and then our respective spouses. But Thanksgiving used to be everyone went to my mother's house,
mm-hmm,
and we did Thanksgiving there. But over the last 7 or 8 years, it has began to split up. And so we actually don't celebrate Thanksgiving at my mother's house anymore. So that tradition has completely changed. In fact, my one sister and her family, they go to Mexico every year for Thanksgiving because my brother-in-law competes in a triathlon on Thanksgiving. Weird. But that's their new tradition. At first, I had a real hard time with that. But just because it evolves into something different doesn't mean it can't also be great.
Sure. Yeah. But yeah. I think change is hard.
Yes.
I mean, I know eventually this set kind of tradition I've had my entire life for Thanksgiving, eventually it's going to change. My grandfather passed a couple years ago.
Right.
So obviously that's very different now.
Right.
So you lose people, you gain people, but I don't think anyone looks forward to something that they enjoy changing.
Right, right. So we celebrate with the banana side of the family. And one of the things that I think is so fun is that when I was younger, we always had lots of people at the house at Thanksgiving. I'd mentioned that before. I mean, and a lot of non-family members, mm-hmm. people who were whose family lived far away or whatever. And so we might have, even though there were only five in my immediate family, we might have, you know, 20 or 25 people at the house for Thanksgiving. And now I'm kind of experiencing that again because the banana has a pretty significant extended family. And so they generally all come. And so you get to have some new characters. Okay, so Tara, what is it about family gatherings, Thanksgiving especially, that, because I think the Thanksgiving interaction has some dead time to it.
Sure.
Because normally by the time people get there, there's kind of a lag of a few hours, eat both mm-hmm. before and after you eat, right. where we're still like trying to, so it's filled with a lot of small talk.
Sure. And
why is it that people blurt out the most inappropriate things, you know, at these kind of family engagements? What do you think? What do you think? Is it nerves? What do you think?
I think it's nerves. I think it is this dreaded, awkward silence. That
because some people cannot handle the awkward silence,
they have to fill it with something. I'll tell one embarrassing story about myself, and that'll kind of maybe give me some forgiveness for telling this embarrassing story about my grandmother. I actually have multiple about my grandmother.
How old is your grandmother? She's
in her late 70s.
Late 70s, okay.
And
which, once you get to it, what age is it that you, once you get to a certain age level, like, Do you no longer care?
I'm
like,
not sure. You,
but it's in that range. Would you agree? It's in the 70s range when you can say whatever you want and people are like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, and everyone's just kind of like, that was weird, but
moving on.
We're going to just pretend like we're all deaf mutes and can't respond. I mean, my grandmother is the queen of saying strange things. I mean, for example.
This is your dad's mom.
This is my dad's mom.
Okay.
So, for example, when she first met Hubba before we were married, mm-hmm. I think it was at a funeral, actually, which is like a strange place to like first meet someone, but whatevs. And Hubba was trying to iron like his shirt or something, and mm-hmm. he was not living up to her standards of ironing. She was like, would you like me to iron that for you? And Hubba's like, sure, you know, that'd be great. So she asked him, I mean, don't you have an iron and some starch at home to practice? And he's like, actually, no. Like, he's like 18 years old at this point. Okay. He's like, no, I actually don't have an iron and starch at my college dorm. She's like, oh my gosh, get a life. Like, says that to him. I was like, please marry me still. Like, thanks, Nana. Like, appreciate that one.
Okay, but Nana was actually just trying to save you. She was trying to try to incentivize this man to learn how to iron his own crap.
I mean, joke's on him. I don't know how to iron either.
So, dry cleaners.
Yeah, dry cleaners and a steamer. Like, who's ever heard of owning an iron these days? But so one, we were sitting around waiting for Thanksgiving one year, and this song, there's this old country song called mm-hmm. Dumas Walker.
Okay.
And they say, let's all go down to Dumas Walker.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, I'm familiar with the song. Yeah.
You're familiar with it.
Yeah.
So it's quiet for a millisecond. And my Nana turns around and says, what do you suppose those boys are going to do to Mrs. Walker? We were like, what? not the words, but also weird place to go with this.
Was the song actually playing?
I think it was like on in the background or something, because we all knew what she was talking about. We're like, that's not what that says.
Oh.
And then another time, we're actually at the Thanksgiving table, uh-huh. and someone says something to her, and she rolls her eyes, and she said, I was born last night, but it wasn't at night. We were like, again, not quite how that goes, but everyone just looked at each other. We're like, duh, she was born last night, not at night. Get it together, fools. Like, we just agree with her.
Yes,
like,
uh-huh. Because it's easier that way than to just tend to actually try to explain to them what the error of their ways.
Exactly.
Well, so in the same
way. Which is why these people say whatever, because nobody Everyone's like, it's fine. Just let it go.
Yes. Well, I am a firm believer that once you get to a certain age, you can say whatever you want to. I had a kind of a similar embarrassing moment several years ago at Thanksgiving where it was tradition that, and this was some extended family, but it was tradition that the kids always wash the dishes.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a terrible tradition. I'm glad I'm not part of your family.
Right. Well, you know, that was just part of the tradition at the time. Well, so one of the cousins, one of the young ladies, was dating a gentleman who was Hispanic.
Okay.
Okay. And he had brought his brother as well. So it was the boyfriend and his brother, his younger brother. So this aunt, who is a little crazy anyway, like, if people don't know what your traditions are, you have to be careful if things are taken out of context.
Okay.
So she walks over to them and she says, boys, let me see those hands. So they like, and these kids are like 16 and 14.
I'm already uncomfortable with this story. Yeah. I already want to die.
16 and 14. And she says, oh, those look like good dishwashing hands to me. And like these poor kids had no idea. And also them being of Hispanic race, you know, like it was like incredibly insulting and offensive. And so like, I never saw them again.
Like, girl, we're out of here. Like, never, wash your own dishes.
Never saw them again. You know, just to this day, I don't know.
I think if someone came up to me and said that to me, I would be like, okay, well, F you. And your turkey was dry. Bye, bitch.
Speaking of dry turkey, but that reminds me of another funny story. So again, like I said, my mother is an incredible cook, but one year she decided she was not going to do a turkey. And this was very controversial. She decided she's going to do Cornish hens.
Okay.
For Thanksgiving.
I'm not totally out.
On Cornish hens?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm with you.
But it was going to be different. Change.
Okay. So everyone freaks out and says crazy things.
So, and in addition to my mother being someone who's an incredible cook, she also, when everything hits the table, it's hot.
Nice.
Yes. I mean, it's all going to be piping up. So she goes to check these Cornish hens. And I think she had cooked them before, but maybe not. Tara, I shit you not. She opens the oven door and these six Cornish hens are sitting on this tray of whatever, you know. So she goes to pull the tray out, and the Cornish hens start rolling off the tray. They hit the oven door, and now they are rolling across the floor.
Oh, my gosh. What kind of pan was this?
Well, it was one where it has, like, the grates where it was flat, so then, like, the grease drips down.
Oh, okay.
So when she pulled it out, like, just the momentum of pulling it out, like, they start rolling off on the floor. So then we make the mistake.
Everyone pretends like they don't notice. Like,
oh, everybody jumps in and they're trying to pick them up, but they've been in the oven and they're like 400 degrees. And it's like, literally, it's like hot potato with Cornish hens, like, ah!
Oh my gosh.
I will have to remind my mother of that story on Thanksgiving because it was like one of her epic fails. But we laughed and laughed and laughed about it. But it was hot potato, Cornish hen style, trying to get these things back on the plate.
Speaking of epic fails, I promised earlier I would also tell an embarrassing story about myself.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually my best friend's favorite story about me and the trouble my mouth has gotten me into over the years.
Yes. Really remarkable that it hasn't gotten you in more trouble. But
I agree. So we're around a table at a family gathering.
Mm-hmm.
I'm young. I just want to defend myself by saying I was very young at this time. Okay. And
this happened 2 years ago.
And an awkward silence fell over the table, I'm sure. I stand up and I take a look around and I say, would anyone like to know who the fattest person at this table is?
What is the matter with you?
And I look straight at my Uncle Ron. Hey, bro. My mom slapped her hand over my mouth so fast. This is what this poor woman has been dealing with.
Oh, my gosh. So seriously, how old were you?
Honestly, I was maybe like 5 or 6. Like, I was a child. a child.
Oh, wow.
But if I ever see B stand up in a chair and look around at a family table, yes, I'm going to know exactly what is coming.
I feel very confident that she will, at some point embarrass you beyond belief. But
we
what's funny
do
is
a
your
whole episode of things I have said that have embarrassed my mother. And you could start by listening to every podcast so far.
Just to get a teaser. Yes. And then we can just do a culmination of all the things.
Yes.
What would be funny is if B does get up and say something, you know, inappropriate like that, how your mom will react.
She'll think it's hilarious.
Yes. Now it's funny. Now
she'll be looking at me like, karma. Yeah. No. It's going to be bad, you guys.
Okay, so Tara, I've got a few also funny behaviors and comments that have been made at Thanksgivings over my tenure.
Yes.
So the first I will say is, people, if there's a limited amount of anything that you like at Thanksgiving,
okay,
food-wise,
mm-hmm,
don't bitch when it's gone if you didn't get it when you could.
Okay.
When I was growing up, there were three pies that were made. A chocolate, a pecan, and a pumpkin pie. And I'm going to tell you, if you like pumpkin pie, great. You're going to have a lot of it. But if pumpkin pie was like your second favorite, like get one of the other ones first.
Okay.
This took strategy to pull off.
Okay.
So because my family, you know, we do Thanksgiving at lunch, or we did Thanksgiving at lunch.
So do we.
Okay, y'all do. Okay. So I know some people do it, you know, different times. We did it at lunch. So my sister Liz, we'd get done with dinner or with lunch, and you know, everybody would, you know, start cutting pies, whatever. And she like, no. I'm gonna wait till later. Later, you're not getting any chocolate or pecan pie. It's gone.
It's gone.
It is gone.
Mm-hmm.
You're left with pumpkin pie, which I'm not saying anything bad about pumpkin pie, but it was third to the chocolate and the pecan. Because what was sneaky about it is everybody would hit that pie, you know, hit the pie safe at 1:15.
Okay.
But then at halftime of the first football game, there was going to be another wave of pie consumption.
Pie round two.
Say around 2:30, 3 o'clock. Well, then my sister, she would be all upset and bent out of shape because by the time she went to get any pie, there was none left. And I was like, this is your own fault.
Right. Like, why didn't she cut her a piece and save
this
it for later?
Every year, that's what I told her to do. Every year. And she was, no. Well, you snooze, you lose it. All right.
Yeah.
There's
no pity from me.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, like, even if you really, really like something, like, if you're fortunate enough to really, really like something that no one else likes, that's gravy. Because then you get everything else you want, and you know they're not going to eat the devil eggs.
Right.
So you can save those for later. You can do those. Yeah. You can do those as your afternoon snack.
Right.
Yeah.
But the chocolate pie, you're just going to hope for the best?
Hope that it's still there?
Nah, girl. That's on you.
That is on you.
All right. So unfortunately, we can't always choose who we have Thanksgiving with.
Can't choose your relatives.
That's right. But if you could choose a guest or two, or maybe even three, who would you like to invite to your Thanksgiving? Dead or alive?
Dead or alive?
Yes.
Okay. Dead or alive. Okay. The first one that I would want to bring, because I think she would actually fit in really well with my in-law / outlaw Thanksgiving, would be Bethany Frankel.
Okay. I feel like she and Big Deb are the same kind of crazy.
And what's crazy is, in addition to Big Deb, there are several other characters in that side of the family that all could hang with her. Like, I mean, as far as the the quick-wittedness and the funny and the just outlandish, you know, comments. So that would probably, that would be one that I would invite.
Okay.
What about you?
This is weird, but I don't care. You know that I love some murder podcasts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would invite JonBenet Ramsey so I could be like, who killed you? I want to know. I know that's weird, but
Tara, that is
who
super weird. So you would invite this person to a Thanksgiving celebration so that you could ask who murdered her?
Yes.
Wow. You really should talk to your therapist about that.
Noted. I want to know. I want to solve the mysteries of the world.
You know who else I would invite?
Who?
I would invite Dave Chappelle.
Same.
I would invite Dave Chappelle.
That's a good one.
He would not eat.
He wouldn't?
No, Dave Chappelle, as I understand, is very much like he's super weird about people touching his food.
Okay.
And I gathered this from, I saw a segment with him on Jerry Seinfeld's comedies in cars getting coffee.
Uh-huh.
And he was at the restaurant and he ordered 2 hard-boiled eggs.
Okay.
And one of the things he said was, I order eggs like that because I know no one's touched them. Like, so I don't know that he would eat, but Dave Chappelle's humor and his wit and his, just the way he is,
quickness,
is so dang funny.
Yeah.
I mean, he is by far my favorite comedian. So I think that Dave Chappelle would be like a really funny guest to have just to see what he would bring to the table.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
I like that one.
I would say Andy Cohen, because, you know, I'm a huge Housewives fan, mm-hmm. but I really feel like he'd be a bitch at Thanksgiving.
Like he'd be a jerk?
I actually think he kind of is a jerk. Mm-hmm. I don't know him, and I really don't have much interaction with him other than...
Do you have any interaction with him?
Well, no, I'm sorry. Seeing interactions, like where he's been with other people. But I just think he might be kind of a jerk. So I think I would pass on that.
Okay.
My other would probably be Howard Stern.
Howard Stern. That would be
amazing.
That would be a really good one.
And especially if he would bring some of his staff.
Oh yeah.
He has some incredible staff that are so funny. Like Ronnie the limo driver at, you know, sit next to Big Deb at Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That would be excellent.
It's good. Okay, Tara, who else you got?
Okay, so I actually don't know this person's name. But
it's going to be kind of hard to invite them, but go ahead.
I'm not really big into celebrities. Like there's no celebrity I would want to invite, mm-hmm. but my husband is a huge soccer fan.
Yeah.
And his favorite player plays for Chelsea.
Yes.
I think he still plays there. So I would invite him just so I could be like, look how awesome of a wife I am. Yet another thing I could hold over his head for forever.
This isn't Lionel Messi.
No, this is another guy.
This is another.
Yeah, I honestly, you could tell me his name and I'm not even sure
that
I'll,
you would.
I'll text Hubba and ask him what his name is.
All right. So who's your other one?
And my last one would be Teresa Caputo, just so she could freak everybody out the whole time and I could watch.
Wow.
I think that would be so funny.
That's a really good one.
I think so too.
That would definitely put people on tilt. Now, would everybody know who she is?
I don't think anyone in my family would know who she is, except for me.
So you'd have to actually explain it, and then...
I wouldn't explain it, though. I would just sit back and watch her. You know how she does that lip thing when she's, like, getting someone?
Yeah.
I'd be like... Just watch everybody freak out. It would be the best.
Wow. I think the moral of this kind of conversation we're having, you know, for the Shallow Squat is that... We are going to, from birth till death, we are going to constantly have this evolution of Thanksgiving holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, you know, evolution and consolidation, you know, as we've mentioned, like my mom's, you know, widow and everybody. So she normally comes to Thanksgiving with us. And then there's other people whose extended family come. And so you end up with like this great melting pot of people. And especially the older you get, the more dynamic the group gets. And while it is different from your childhood, you get this opportunity to meet so many interesting characters and sometimes it will really surprise you that you really like these folks and they're fun. And for a few hours you get to hang with them and learn something new and laugh. And I think that's just the what is so great about Thanksgiving is you get around a meal, which it is scientifically proven you cannot keep your guard up and eat at the same time.
Really?
You cannot be on guard and eat. So like everybody kind of lets down their wall. And so that to me is why it's such a neat holiday is because people can relax and, you know, and enjoy their food and laugh. And that's why I think it creates such a great time. So I think that's kind of the moral of what we're of this whole concept of this evolution of Thanksgiving. And it's not that it's bad, it's different. And we have to kind of work to accept change. Some of us do it easier than others. But just that you can have such an awesome experience, you know, for those few hours or for that day that you're there.
Sure. No, absolutely. Changes is not always bad.
So speaking of changes, you are now at the age where you should be required to participate.
Contribute,
thank you, to the Thanksgiving festivities.
Sure.
So what have you been tasked with anything lately?
Last year was the first year. that I was asked to bring two items.
Oh, they hit you with two items.
Mm-hmm.
What were the two items that you were asked to bring?
Ice was mm-hmm. the first one.
Okay.
Cranberry sauce was the second one.
Okay, that seems very...
entry level.
That seems very entry level. And are you insulted by the fact that that's all they are asking you to bring?
Not at all. I am a woman of many talents, but cooking a meal, not going to be one of them.
You're not whipping up the green bean casserole.
No. I would also like to point out that I forgot both of those items. When I arrived at Thanksgiving...
You had neither...
I had neither item. And my Nana was predicting this. She waltz up with this little mischievous look in her eye and says, "Honey, did you bring the ice and cranberry?" And panic overcomes me. And I'm like, sure didn't, but let me run out to the store real quick. Oh, no need. I went ahead and got it ahead of time. I was like,
wow.
Burn, Anna. And I'd also like to point out that we're 2 days away from Thanksgiving and I have not been asked to bring anything.
So maybe you're off
this
the
year. So
yes, I think the entry level is, though, like rolls, ice, the canned cranberry.
Yes. Yeah. This was canned cranberry request.
I think that's where you start. And then they will let you kind of move into a side that has been proven in other events to have been a winner. Like, they're not going to let you bring a surprise sweet potato dish to.
Oh,
it's going to have to be vetted through some other minor holiday or minor family interaction. Right. And then they'll let you bring that to the table.
But I will say that my 19-year-old brother
mm-hmm.
rolled up with a contribution.
What did he bring?
He brought two cases of beer. And he rolls in. "Hey, everybody, happy Thanksgiving. Got some drinks." My parents look at each other. They look at him and they said, "Declan, how did you buy this?" And he's like,
"Don't ask the
question." Oh. Then he realizes. He looks at me for help. Per usual, he's always trying to have me save his ass. And then he just looks back at my parents and he says, "Fake ID?" Just admits it right there at Thanksgiving.
Okay, so do y'all normally have alcohol at your Thanksgiving?
I think there's alcohol there. I'm not sure that anybody drinks because we do eat pretty early. We eat at lunch. I put it in a teacup
like a respectable adult.
But I mean, there's no one's gonna raise an eyebrow if you have a drink at my Thanksgiving.
Yeah, some people are different. Did you know that? And I think this is still correct. The single day highest alcohol sales is the Friday after Thanksgiving.
I can see that.
Yeah, because people are staying for the weekend, and it's like the impromptu-ness of the parties or the extended stays are there. So I think that's the Friday after Thanksgiving is the highest grossing day for alcohol sales.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah. Okay, so if you don't want to bring the lame ice, bread, cranberry sauce in a can, might I suggest, and this is going to be a new segment on our program, wine.
Welcome to Wine Matters.
Wine Matters. See what we did there, people?
Get it? Matt Matters. Matters.
Yeah, get it? They didn't.
We're so clever.
We didn't. They're like,
our one listener is like, "Oh, I'm so glad they explained that to us."
I would hate to have to. Really struggling with that one. Okay. So if you want to really be impressive, especially if you want to come to my Thanksgiving, walk in with wine. Wine goes with Thanksgiving very well.
Okay.
And I will tell you this. People are like really nervous to bring wine to events, but you really can't go wrong, because even if the person, say the house you're going to, doesn't drink wine, there are people that will. And I assure you, there are people that will appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you this. People get very nervous when they're trying to determine like what the reason people don't bring wine is, because they get too nervous trying to find wine.
Sure.
Well, let me tell you two things.
Okay.
Bring two bottles.
Okay.
Do not spend less than $20 on either one of the bottles.
Well, guess I'm not bringing wine.
And also, pick a red wine that has like a reasonable label on it. If it looks like a cartoon on the wine label, do not bring it.
Okay.
If you know nothing else about wine, get a Pinot Noir and get it with a label that looks like it is done professionally. Okay. If it looks like a cartoon, don't get it.
Okay.
And spend around $20. And I can assure you, you're going to be in the 90th percentile for bringing a bottle of wine.
Okay.
The other option is, as I said, bring two.
Okay.
Bring a bottle of champagne. And you do you do not have to spend a lot of money on champagne.
Because, are we talking Andre?
Well, yes, you could bring a bottle of Andre. You could bring bottle Andre, Balatore, whatever you want to bring. But the thing about champagne is that there is not nearly as much difference in champagne as there is in red wine.
Okay.
Because red wine, there are literally thousands of different varieties, you know, and all that. With champagne or sparkling wine, as they call it here, it all is roughly the same. And I know I'm going to get some hate mail about that, but there's not as much difference between champagnes as there is between red wine. So get a bottle of Pinot Noir.
Okay.
Spend about $20 and then get a bottle of champagne or sparkling wine.
Okay.
And walk into somebody's house and you will be way ahead of the person who had to bring the rolls.
Okay.
So there is Wine Matters for today.
Awesome.
For your Thanksgiving holiday.
Excellent advice, sir.
Yes. All right, Terry, it's that time in the program, which you love so much.
I hate that.
What are you hating this week?
So this I hate that was brought to my attention by a listener.
Oh.
And I have to agree with her. I do hate this.
Okay. What is it, Tara?
I hate when people post on social media something that's not real to be offended by. So a listener sent me this mutual friend that we actually have on social media had posted this meme that said, just because I'm a single mom doesn't mean I can't be successful. No shit. No one said that. You couldn't be. You're posting this so that people will comment nice things to you.
Yes. Like begging a compliment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You might as well just write, hey, say nice shit to me like you did on our one episode, being like, you guys throw me a bone. I'm feeling underappreciated. Like,
yes.
I respect that you just put it out there. But these people who are trying to, you know, manipulate others into posting things.
I agree.
It's like, get a life.
I agree.
No one has said that single moms or this, and that's just this particular meme.
Well,
no one said that.
Agree 100%. I think, do you remember me telling you about the folks who posted them walking out of the Addams Family on Facebook? Did you see this?
Yes. Yeah.
That was completely planned. Like,
yeah, like you guys can do things without posting them.
Right.
And getting people to rally around you.
But there's no question. Those folks went to that movie knowing exactly what it was about in order to walk out and then be able to video them walking out of this movie theater.
Viral sensation.
Viral sensation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, get a grip. I hate that. What about you, Matt? What are you hating?
Okay, well, this week I'm hating this concept of haggling with babysitters over their pay.
Okay, explain.
Okay, if you are going to hire someone, a child, teenager, whatever, college student, to watch your child.
A child.
You're asking them to commit 3 or 4 hours of their evening, their Friday night.
Sure.
You're not offering them a 40-hour a week job.
Okay.
So when you're offering someone a very short opportunity, the dollar amount per hour has to be high. So yes, Chick-fil-A is paying $16 an hour. They're also paying those kids for 30 hours a week of work or 50.
Sure.
You're asking for 3 or 4 hours. So I don't think it's unreasonable to pay a person to watch your children $15 an hour or $17 an hour or whatever it is.
Okay.
For 3 hours to watch your kid.
Sure.
You really are going to complain about having to spend an extra $2 an hour to have someone watch your child?
Is there something that prompted this?
Yes.
I hate that.
Yes. I saw this on Facebook this week. This mom posted, hey, what is the going rate for like babysitters? She was trying to figure out, and she posted the age of the kids. And so, which I thought was reasonable to ask, you know, and in different communities, it's going to be a different price. We're kind of past this now because, you know, the oldest is able to stay home by himself, but, and try not to kill the younger. But anyway, so, but the responses I got from some of these moms and these self-righteous, like, I will not pay below, you know, above blah, 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 blah. And, you know, the going price is this and da, 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 and like just raging on this babysitting industry. And I'm like, you're asking for 4 hours and you're really going to, you know, like demand that you pay them minimum wage for 4 hours of work with your, by the way, probably terrible children. Yeah, at least at Chick-fil-A, they get to deal with other reasonable kids, like,
right,
you know, working together. Here, you're
this is where you're going to cut the corner.
This is where you're going to cut the corner. Yes, you're willing. You're going to go out and spend how many $100 on date night. But yes, you want to save $6 off the babysitter. Cut me a break with this. So I
got you riled up.
It did. And you know what else? You know why I never had a problem with finding babysitters?
Because you pay well?
Yes. And they would take my call before they would take anybody else's. So if you want to
That about you.
If you want to have a standing babysitter that will drop things to come do for you, guess what? You got to reward them for that. Like, you can't expect them to be on call unless you're going to be willing to pay them. And I'm not saying we're paying these kids $100 an hour. I'm just saying we don't need to panic. But if they want 15 and you think 12 is enough, like,
right,
it's $3 times four. That's $12.
Come on. Having a babysitter is a luxury.
For sure it is.
So it's like, come on.
Yeah. But so that's my hate that. It's this hardcoreness at the babysitters. maybe I'll try to help unionize the babysitting industry.
Oh, no? Don't do that until after I don't need it. Because to be honest, like, I'm going to hit up every girlfriend I have first. Be like, yo, can my kid come hang out with you before I'm trying to pay someone?
Well, and that's fine too. But like, I mean, don't hammer some 12-year-old. Don't haggle down their price.
Okay, I get that. And then you make them walk home. Right? Like, you know what? I'll pay you 15, but no ride home for you.
But ma'am, it's 18 degrees and I live 4 miles from here. I don't care.
Get to walking. Yeah. All right, as always, we want to show our shallow squad some love. Matt, who you got for us today?
Tara, today I have got Miss Keisha.
Yes.
Keisha is a day one shallow squad member, member.
The founding fathers.
I'm telling you, she from day one has, I mean, before we even launched, she was over the top about it. She thought this was amazing. And she tells all of her friends and
shares
all of our posts. She just loves what we're doing. And we appreciate that so much.
Yes.
And y'all, Shallow Squad, we cannot do this without you guys.
That's right.
I mean, Keisha, thank you so much for all the love you give to us.
We hope you enjoy your merch, Keisha, that we have going out to you.
That's right. And so this week, we want to say, please, y'all, continue to tell your friends. We would not be able to do the show without you guys. And that's crucial for us. So share, review.
Another great way to let people know about our podcast is go up to a stranger, be like, hey, can I borrow your phone real quick? Open the podcast app, press subscribe, then run away quickly. I mean, if that's how you got to get it done, Shallow Squad, you do that. We fully support that.
By whatever means necessary.
That's right. All right, you guys, that brings us to the end of this episode. We hope that you are fully prepared to deal with the ever-changing family dynamics that could be around your Thanksgiving table.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep in mind, not all change is bad.
Right.
You never know what characters are going to come along the way and change everything up for the better.
That's right. That's right. And just remember, we might sound shallow, but the depth is real.
And don't forget to check us out on Instagram at Deeply Shallow Podcast and like Deeply Shallow Podcast on Facebook.
Hey, Tara, we've really enjoyed our podcast experience, but I think we would both agree that creating and launching a podcast is way more than just recording content. We had no idea how much technology could help or hurt a podcast. I mean, we could be spending hours on editing, audio quality, uploading to a hosting service, just to name a few.
Totally agree. We interviewed several companies and couldn't be happier with Riley and his team at Podigy. Their skills, passion, and professionalism have proven to be the best partners for us.
Yeah, that's podigy.co, podigy.co. Right now, they're offering 25% off first month services for new podcasters.